This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
We have an incredible AV team, but even they cannot make up for a priest who turns her mic pack off between the services and forgets to turn it back on when she comes in. So forgive me, that's all me, not them. They're doing great today. Actually, everyone is doing great today. Isn't it glorious? The music and the flowers and you beautiful folks gathered here together to celebrate this. And even the tiny miracle of an Easter cold front. I know that if we were in Boston or something like that, we would be wishing for warm weather, but we are here in Austin, and we will be excited for a cold breeze that blows in with Easter, and it will enhance our Easter joy, I'm sure of it. Each of the gospel accounts record the resurrection a little bit differently. And so today we spend our time with John's gospel that has the resurrection revealed to three of Jesus' closest friends, his dearest followers, just them in the quiet dark of that garden early in the morning. It starts with Mary, who comes to the tomb, not like the hymn said, which is from a different gospel, not with any particular errand. She doesn't come in John's gospel with the spices to prepare his body for burial. That's already been done, according to the way John tells the story. She comes because she's sad, because her friend has died, because she loved him, and she misses him. And so, like all of us, when we lose one we love, she goes to the place where his body is to feel closeness to him, to grieve and to cry, and to remember what he meant to her. And she finds it not as she expected. She finds the tomb opened, the stone rolled away. And at first, at least, Mary thinks something even worse has happened. That not only has he died, they have taken away what dignity they were able to give him, the ways that they were able to show their love for him after his death, even that has been removed from them, at least as Mary sees it. His body's been stolen away. And she now doesn't even have that place to draw close to see him there. So she runs to tell two of his closest friends, Peter and the one whom Jesus loved. This is the same Peter who is giving that beautiful sermon that we heard in the Acts of the Apostles reading. At least it's supposed to be the same Peter. It is the same Peter, but he's not done yet when we meet him in John's gospel. Peter, as we meet him at this moment on Easter Sunday, could not have delivered that address, I don't think. I don't believe he could have stood with that confidence and said, I know this to be true, and I believe this to have happened. In fact, it says, as yet they did not believe what the scripture said. So when Mary comes, he and the one whom Jesus loves go running. They're in a foot race. And look, I don't know for sure why Peter didn't win the race, why the one whom Jesus loved outran him. Some people think that Peter was rather old, and so maybe he just couldn't keep up with the younger man. I don't know. Maybe, though, maybe on his way, he got a little scared. Maybe his doubts slowed his feet. Maybe he wasn't sure what the empty tomb meant either, and he just wasn't ready to confront it. In any event, when he gets there, the one whom Jesus loves is also hesitating. That disciple beats Peter to the tomb and yet cannot bring himself to go in. Waits, holds back. He seems to be maybe a little scared of what he might find there as well. And it's only after Peter dares to go in that the other disciple also makes his journey in, sees for himself. And then they leave. They go home. But Mary stays, still not understanding it, still weeping, still missing the one she loved. And when she enters in, the angels are there to greet her. And finally, Jesus himself, who calls her by name, who knows her so well. And from that brief encounter in the garden, she's able to run back to his friends and say, "I have seen the Lord." 3 different encounters in John's gospel with this empty tomb, which is good news for us today. Because I think however you got here this morning, the tomb is empty for you. And Jesus is waiting for you. If you were like that eager disciple and have been anticipating this Sunday for months, and you got here beautifully polished in a new dress, coordinated with your family, if you were like that, the tomb is empty for you, and Jesus is waiting for you. I, for one, am grateful that the church gives me a beautiful dress to wear today. If you were more like Peter, and it was the struggle bus all the way to get here, and you started and stopped a couple of different times, and you get here still with your doubts, still not yet believing, the tomb is empty for you. And Jesus is waiting for you. And if you're like Mary Magdalene, and you came here dragging all the griefs that the world has handed you, if you came here to weep, if you came here because there are some who you need to know will be raised one day, if all of them are in your heart as you sit here on Easter morning, if you, like she, are waiting for him to call their names, waiting for him to call your name, the tomb is empty for you, and Jesus is waiting for you. However you got here, the resurrection is in your life. It took Peter a little longer to get there. There's a few more appearances, and Jesus gives Peter and that disciple whom he loved everything they need so that Peter can become the man who delivers that beautiful sermon that we saw in Acts of the Apostles. And Jesus gives Mary, even when she doesn't recognize him, everything she needs so that she can know that it is he, that the resurrection is in her life. Whatever you brought with you, whatever it took to get you here this morning, even if you leave with it yet unfinished, with some of your doubts still intact, with some of your grief still real and present, the resurrection is for you. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.